Get your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And continuing with our Wednesday night lessons on discipleship. These lessons, and by the way, I do intend for these lessons to be shared with others. That if there's somebody in your life or in your circles that would like to grow closer to the Lord, you can use these lessons to help them grow, to further the depth of their Christianity, to put down good solid roots so that they're not going to be blown about by every wind of doctrine that comes along, so that they can mature in Christ. As I mentioned Sunday, maturity in Christ means God can do more with you, through you, and give to you. We don't give a set of car keys to a two-year-old because two-year-old is just have not matured to a point where we can entrust them that way. In fact, it would be irresponsible of us to give them a set of car keys, a two-year-old. So, and God treats us the same way in a large way, that as we mature in Christ, there's just more that God can do with us, and through us, and give to us. These lessons are meant to help us mature in Christ. So 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, and I just read a few verses here. Beginning in verse number 12, the Bible says this, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." Now, before I read the rest of this, let me explain what we're doing today. And specifically, the discipleship lesson is going to be on standards and rules, if you will. So there's a standard of living that I think God wants us to live up to. This is a difficult thing to understand sometimes because we look at these standards and we think, well, if I don't live this way, then God's not going to be happy with me. That's not the purpose of standards. And I'm going to talk about why God has a standard of living that he wants his people to rise up to. And that's not uncommon. You join the military, guess what? The military has a standard of living. When you're in the military, they'll tell you how to dress. They'll tell you when you can eat. They'll tell you how to have your hair cut. They'll tell you how to make your bed. They'll tell you how to polish your shoes. I mean, they control many, many, if not all, facets of your life while you're in the military. And there's a standard. When you go out in public, they want you to represent them. They have a uniform, correct? And that uniform indicates to everybody what branch of the military you're in. And you represent, if you're in the Marines, you represent the Marines. If you're in the Navy, you represent the Navy. And so they have a standard by which they want you to rise up to. You join a ball team. There's a standard. They want you to wear the same uniform. They want you to show up to the practices. They want you to behave a certain way. They want you to listen to the coaches and all the things that kind of go along with that. All of these things have a standard. You work a job, and many of you have worked a job. Those jobs have certain standards that they ask you to abide by. It could be a dress code. It could be a code of conduct. It could be the way you present yourself to clients and customers. But those standards all matter. And God has a standard of living too. And he said this in verse number 12. He says, all things are lawful for me, but all things not expedient. He says, just because I'm permitted to do something doesn't mean I should. Doesn't mean I should. And a lot of the standards, and this is, understand this about standards. Standards are not always about right or wrong. They're not. Standards have a different purpose. Now, sometimes we look at them. Oh, if you don't dress this way or act this way or behave this way or live this way, then God's not going to be happy with you. Now, I do believe that you'll be missing out on certain blessings if you don't live up to the standard that God has asked you to live up to. Just as if you don't adhere to the standards on a ball team, you might get benched. You might not be able to participate because you're not being a team player. You're a maverick doing your own thing. And so God wants us to be a team player. In order to be a team player, we got to have standards. Same thing in the military. They don't want you to do your own thing. They want you to learn to take orders. They want you to learn to march. They want you to learn to walk like they want you to walk, talk like they want you to. They want you to learn all their standards so that in the heat of battle, you will act like part of the team, which is important in battle. And so just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do something. Amen. And he says in verse number 13, he just goes on, he says, meats are for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. He's setting a standard here in this verse number 13. He says the purpose of the body isn't for fornication. It's to be separated. It's to have a higher standard than just doing whatever you want to do. He says, and God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. Now, know ye not that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? God forbid. He said that the standard that we have, we're not going to, the body is not for fornication, he said. So don't join it with a harlot, he said, because that's not the standard of living that you should have as a Christian. Now, we said, what? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one what? Amen. One spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, now watch this. You're bought with a price. So therefore, basically he's saying, I want you to rise to a higher standard. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He said, you're already purchased with a price. You're on the team. Now live like it. Live like you are a Christian, is what he's saying here. That the purpose of the standards here, he said, look, I know I could get away with it, he said. I know that I could do it. I could probably sneak off and do it, he said. But that doesn't mean I should. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do something. Just because something may not be sinful, in this case, he is talking about a sin, but just because something may not be sinful doesn't mean that you should do it. Because a standard, so what are standards for when it comes to being a Christian? See, these rules, these regulations, these standards that we have are key to help us be victorious in the battle that we fight. Again, if everybody's doing what they want to do, and there's no unity, because that's what standards does. One purpose of standards is to bring unity to people, that we're all doing the same thing in the same way. And that as Christians, we show a united front, but also the same light. It'd be really confusing. You go off and you're living in fornication, and then someone says, I thought you were a Christian. Yep, I am, but I'm a saved Christian, so I can do what I want. That's going to be confusing to that person. That's going to send the wrong message. So the way people do look at the way you live, does the way you live matter on how you get to heaven? No, does not. Does the way you live matter on how somebody else might choose whether or not they trust Christ or not? Maybe. Maybe. People do look at the way you live, and they judge Christianity and thereby God and Christ by you and me. And that's the scary part. That's why we should have standards. And we should have higher standards than the world. You know, let's get into this. So again, this is not always about right or wrong. Standards are about, I got 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 things that standards are why we should live to a higher standard as Christians. And I mean in every area of our life. I think we should have a higher standard in our music. I think we should have a higher standard in our dress. I think we should have a higher standard in the way we talk. I think we should have a higher standard in the way we present ourselves. I think we should have a higher standard in what it means to be kind to people. The world has their idea of what it means to be kind to somebody. You know, you love me, I'll love you. Well, my Bible says love your enemies. That's a higher standard. We should have a higher standard in every area of our life. As Christians, we should be the hardest workers at the jobs we work at. As Christians, we should be the most ethical workers where we work at. In every aspect of our dealings with the government, and our dealings with their neighbors, and our dealings with the community that we live in, we should have the highest standards. We shouldn't be looking to get one over on somebody, how to cheat somebody, how to knock someone off the ladder so we can get ahead of them. That's not what a Christian should be doing. A Christian should have the highest standards of living. And there's a reason for that. So number one, standards are about separation. So this is the first one. Standards are about separation. Oops. Let me start over. Number one is standards are about identity. I skipped my notes here. Number two is standards are about separation. So number one, standards are about identity. Identity. Standards are how we establish an identity. And I mentioned the military. Each branch of the military has somewhat different standards. Now, many of them have a similar standard because they represent the United States of America. That's the standard of the United States military. But you talk about the Navy SEALs, for example, the Rangers, the Delta Force, the Green Berets. Don't they not have a even higher standard that you have to meet to be part of that group? So when you do like a SEAL, they give you a little trident. And it's about an identity. And what does a Marine say? Once a Marine, always a Marine. It becomes an identity to them, that way of living, that haircut, that, you know, the way they make their bed or whatever. Once a Marine, always a Marine. Hoorah. I mean, that identity becomes, that standard becomes part of their identity. One of the reasons why a Christian should have standards is so that people, when they look at us, they can say, you must be a Christian. The way we live, the way we dress, the way we talk, the way we act, the music we listen to, all that we do should shout, we are followers of Jesus Christ. It establishes our identity. And, I mean, imagine I'm on a basketball team. Let's say I got drafted to play for the Phoenix Suns, and it very easily could happen. And so, I mean, just letting you know, I mean, the other day I played Jason in basketball and he crushed me, but I let him. I let him. I wanted him to feel good. I wanted him to feel good about himself. I am drafted with Phoenix Sun, but we're going to play the Los Angeles Lakers. So I show up wearing a Los Angeles Lakers uniform. Yeah, I might get shot, is right. And if I was on the battlefield wearing the other team's uniform, I dead sure will get shot. Because the uniform identifies me as part of a team. It identifies me. When you walk into Walmart, they have a apron thing or whatever it is that they wear that identifies them as a worker there. Occasionally, I've been in Walmart with a shirt and tie on. This is back in Colorado. And I'd be walking around, and people think I was an employee there. I was like a supervisor or something. So they come to me and they say, hey, can you help me get this down from the... And so I'm like, sure. And so I'm working. Finally, I'll see an employee, and I'll say, hey, come over here, help me. And I'm bossing the employee around like I own the place. And it's so funny. It's a mistaken identity, because they mistaken the standard, which is true. One time I was out soul winning and I was knocking on doors and a car pulls up and the woman, she rolls down her window and she looks at me. She goes, are you a Mormon? I said, no. She kind of looked down. She goes, are you a Jehovah's Witness? I said, no. She goes, then what are you? I said, I'm a Baptist. She goes, oh, rolls the window back up and drives off. But there's clearly something about me that shouted, not a gang member. She didn't ask me if I was a gang member, correct? She didn't ask me if I was part of the military. She assumed I was part of some religious organization. The first two were wrong. Praise the Lord. But there was something, and that's what that should be true for all of us. When we go out into the world, there should be something about our demeanor, our attitude, the way we look, the way we carry ourselves, that should shout, I have a higher standard of living than the world does. I'm a Christian. It's an idea that says, hey, you're a Christian. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 says this, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He's called you out of darkness into the marvelous light so that you can show forth his praises. Because you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Another word for peculiar is weird. Weird. If the world thinks you're weird, good. Good. I don't want them to think I'm weird. You, what? I do. I want the world to think I'm weird. And the weirder the world gets, the weirder I want to be to them. So number one, standards are about identity. Number two, standards are about separation. Standards are about separation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, the Bible says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Translation, I'll put you in the game. You rise up to the standard, I'll put you in the game. I will receive you, will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Separation. Now the reason why we have a higher standard is to separate us from those around, from the world. Isn't that true with some of the more elite military units, like the Navy SEALs? They have a higher standard that sets them apart, correct? Sets them apart. The Green Beret, same thing. A higher standard that sets them apart. The Marines have a force recon, I believe, or something of that nature. But it's, again, these specialty units, they have a higher standard that you have to meet. And to set them apart from those around them. There should be always something that sets you apart. And that separation is why we have standards. There are things I do and things I live by that have nothing to do with right or wrong. It has everything to do with the fact that, A, I want to identify with Christ. If it helps identify with Christ, I'm for it. Two, it separates you. World puts a clear distinction between me and them. I don't want to be mistaken for the world. I don't want to be mistaken in the way I talk, my attitude, my behavior, my dress, my music, none of it. So I do a higher standard in many of those things for that reason alone. You say, well, is some of that wrong? Maybe not. And in many cases, it's not wrong. But a higher standard is always more preferable. And as Christians, we are a chosen generation. There's something special about being a Christian. The problem is we don't live like there's something special about us. Because we live like the rest of the world does. So we're not separating from the world. Our standards are equal to the world or just very close to it. And as a result, there's nothing special about being a Christian. And there should be something special about being a Christian. There should be something joyous about it. I love being a Christian. I enjoy this life. I enjoy talking about God. I enjoy talking about the Bible. I enjoy the things of God. I enjoy prayer. I enjoy my Bible. And I'm not ashamed about it either. Why standards? Why should a Christian live to a higher standard? Well, number one, because it's about identity, who we identify with. Standards show us who we identify with. I mean, even gangs have their own colors, and they have to have certain tattoos. They got to dress a certain way. If you join the Hell's Angels, guess what you have to have? Motorcycle and a leather jacket. As a minimum, correct? As a minimum, that's where you start with. But if you're going to be part of that group, they do have a standard. And you got to fit in with that standard. You got to look like them. You got to talk like them. It's part of their standard. I don't want to be mistaken for that. So I have a different standard. Amen? Number two, it's about separation. It's about separation. Number three, and I mentioned this one in the introduction, but it's about unity. It's about building unity. Cohesiveness among the believers is a key element to our success. And when we share similar standards and we're all living in a similar way, that brings unity. If we have differing standards for differing people in our church, now understand, there is a different standard from a pastor to a deacon to a deacon to a church member. God has different standards. But those are standards of authority. That if you're going to have that authority, you've got to live up to even a higher standard. Because those standards help rein in the power, the abuse of the power. Because anytime somebody has authority, you can abuse it. And so God is trying to rein in the abuse of that power with those higher standards. But for just the Christian, I'm a Christian, you're a Christian, we should all have high standards because that will bring us together. If we're all doing the same thing, it's helpful. Psalms 133 in verse number 1, Bible says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant is it for brethren to dwell together in unity." 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, 1 Corinthians 1:10 says this, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." He said, I want you to set a similar standard. Philippians chapter 2 and verses 2 to 5. Philippians 2, 2 to 5 says, "Fulfill you my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in the lowliness of mind let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And so it's important that we have that similar standard, that the high standard. Because if the higher our standards are that we are all moving to, the more unity there is. It's just this. Now, I don't believe that a church should impose those standards. I just believe that every Christian, as you get closer to God, you should want to live up to a higher standard. And as you get closer and closer to Jesus, it should become more evident to you that, hey, this doesn't identify me with Christ as well as I'd like. I'm going to not do that anymore. I'm going to do this because this is clearly identifies me with Christ, clearly separates me from the world, clearly helps me unify with fellow believers. It's important. Satan would love nothing more than to isolate you from your fellow believers. And a lack of standards is one way that happens. Because when you don't have a higher standard that you're trying to live up to, now no one's going to live perfectly up to every standard or everything in the Bible that God wants you to live up to. The key isn't to whether you can. The key is whether you're trying to. Someone once said that if you aim for nothing, you're going to hit it every time. And I'd rather, in school, I'd rather aim for an A and get a B than aim for a C and succeed every time. I'd rather fail and get to a higher standard than I would ever reach than mediocrity, because I'm striving for something. I'd rather shoot for that A. And as Christians, that's what we should be doing. We should be striving for a higher standard of living as Christians. It should be important to us as our identity and for our separation from the world and for unity with fellow believers. And lastly, standards are about love. Standards are about loving. This is perhaps the most essential purpose of standards, is to provide you with a way to express your love in a concrete and sacrificial way. You see, the stricter the rules of a relationship are, the more value you put on the relationship. It's true. The stricter the rules or standards are in a relationship, the more value you put on the relationship. For example, I married my wife, and in marrying my wife, there was a set of vows that I made to her, a set of standards that we chose to live by that I made with no other woman and have never made with any other woman, and that is to keep myself only unto her so long as you shall live in sickness and in health, in richer and poorer, until death do us part. That higher standard, by having such a high standard, means I put a lot more weight and value on that relationship than I have with any other woman on the planet because of a much higher standard. Same with my kids. Oftentimes I expect my kids to live up to a particular standard because I put more weight on it that I don't expect my neighbor kids to live up to that standard that I expect my kids to live up to. Because I have a higher standard for them that I have expectation how they behave, how they act, what they do, how they dress, all of that, I am putting more weight and more value on that relationship than I would be than what I'm doing with the neighbor kids. So one of the evidence of God's love is that God wants you to live to a higher standard. Because by living to that higher standard, you are allowing God, and you yourself are putting weight and value on your relationship with Jesus Christ. See, Jesus said that if you love him, you would what? Keep his commandments. Interesting. He says, if you love me, live up to my standards. So you live up to a higher standard because you love somebody. It's less to do about right and wrong and more to do about your expression of love in a way that transcends an emotion. So many times we think love is, oh, I got a fuzzy, wuzzy feeling that started in my toes and worked the way up. My hair stands on end and I'm in love. And that's how we interpret love. But this, by living up to a higher standard, by keeping my vows to my wife, I am putting by keeping my vows, by not cheating on my wife, I am saying I love you. Correct? It means much more to me. The friends that I have in my life, those friends, there's a higher level of standards that we adhere to be friends. I'm walking down the street or knocking on doors, somebody may cuss at me or cuss. Just generally speaking, because this is what they do. I'm not going to rebuke them. But if one of my friends starts cussing, I'm going to rebuke them. I'm going to say, what are you doing? Don't talk like that around me. You know better than that. I'm expecting a higher level standard of living with people who claim to be my friend, that I claim to be their friend. Because I put more value on it that way. The relationship becomes more important to me. Every relationship have rules. Even the people around you that you don't really talk to. You may have a neighbor that you hardly ever speak to, but you still have rules. They're unspoken. One might be, you don't graffiti my garage, I don't graffiti yours. And if one of them breaks that rule, you got a problem. Correct? So the rules exist in every relationship. They always just, there's a standard in any relationship that already exists. But when you elevate those standards to a higher level, you put more value on the relationship. You just do. That's why it's so important. The most important relationships in your life are those which are unified by a higher standard of love and friendship. The more important a relationship is, the more rules and standards exist in the relationship. It's just always the case. There are more expectations in such a relationship, and such expectations add meaning and value to the relationship. I don't expect much from a stranger, but I do from my spouse and from my children, from my friends. I do expect more from them. And that's true for all of us. And that's why standards are so important. Your relationship with God may, the value you place on it may be dependent upon the strength of your standards that you are trying to live by. Not because you have to, but because you value the relationship. I have no problem with that vow that says, keep myself only under her so long as we both shall live. I have no problem with that rule. I love her that much. I'm not walking around moping, oh, I hate that rule. Wish I could break that one. Why did they have to put that one in there? I don't feel like I'm missing anything. I was a young pastor, 23 years old, knocked on a door of a woman to South Soul when I introduced myself and tried to invite her to church, and she put her hands on her hips, looked at me. She was on a step up to where she went, so she was actually eye level with me. But she looked at me and she goes, how old are you? I said, would you believe 40? I'm looking like I'm 23, which I was. I said, no, I'm 23. She goes, you're a pastor? I said, yes, ma'am. A newly minted one, but a pastor nonetheless. And she goes, why don't you just live your life and have fun? And then when you're older, then become a pastor. You see, in her mind, I was missing out on a lot of things. I was missing out on a lot of fun. I was missing out on a lot of, I don't know, whatever sowing wild oats means. Well, I know what it means. That's what it means. And, but I'm missing out on sowing my wild oats and going and doing all this stuff. I'm missing out on hangovers. I'm missing out on drug overdoses. I'm missing out on extra hospital visits. I'm missing out on marriage counseling. I'm missing out on divorce. I'm missing out on, visiting my kids in juvie. I'm missing out on a lot of stuff. But I happen to love the fact that I have a Savior, and I love my God. I love my Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't mind living up to a higher standard. I just don't. And we can do that. There's love there. It's an expression of love. One way that you can love God, keep his commandments. Live up to that higher standard. And his commandments are not grievous to us, the Bible says, because there's love there. I'm not grieved that I can't cheat on my wife. Stupid vow. What absurdity is that? It's just an absurdity. I'm not moping around about that, trying to figure. And no, some people do. Some people try to figure out how they can break their vows and get away with it. I love her. I don't mind keeping myself for one woman. Amen. And that higher standard means I put more value on the relationship. It's an expression of love. So what are standards for? Is it always about right and wrong? Some things are about right and wrong, though. When it comes to God, there are certain things, like we read at the beginning here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, that our bodies are not for fornication. They're for the Lord. Amen. And so we need to keep ourselves from fornication. flee fornication. The Bible's very clear on that. That's about right or wrong. But not all standards are about right or wrong. Some things are about identity. How does it help you identity? Is it wrong for me to wear a Lakers jersey? No, but if I'm a player on the Phoenix Suns, it's kind of dumb. Correct? It's about identity. It's about separation. About putting distance between you. The Bible says that one of the problems with the priest in the book of Ezekiel, he said that why he let the Babylonian captivity happen was because the priest put no difference between the clean and the unclean, between the holy and the unholy. They didn't put a difference. They didn't separate them. They let the lines blur and cross. He says, put a line, put a difference between right and wrong. He said, when you stop doing that, that's a problem. And we need to, in our minds, put a difference between us and the world. Is that haircut style wrong? No, but does it identify with Jesus or with that gang? Or with that worldly whatever, that movie star, for example? I mean, how many girls want to dress a certain way because of a pop singer or of a movie, of an actress? They're trying to identify with some. We want to identify with Christ. Separation, about love. I missed one. It's about unity. I could add, it's also about, this is not really in the lesson, but it's about elevating us to almost an elite status. Now, there's pridefulness in that word. But let me explain what I mean here. The Navy SEALs, we consider them to be elite, special. Do we not? But to get to that elitism, you have to live up to a very, very, very high standard. But that brings about the one that I was talking about, unity. You talk to any SEAL team, those guys are close. Those guys are close. There's an elitism there that brings unity together. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. God says you're elite in my book. So why don't we live like it? Live up to a higher standard. Amen. Father, thank you for this opportunity to share this concept of standards. Father, I pray that you would help us to live up to a higher standard, to your higher standard, for your sake. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.